إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Indeed, the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray. And whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that he has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to be looking at are we going to be taking our 33rd session, reading from the commentaries on Aqidah al-Tahawiyyah by Al-Imam Abu Ja'far Ahmad ibn Muhammad ibn Salama al-Tahawi, rahimahullah. Before we look at the points that we're going to take tonight, which is the 55th statement and the 56th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, we're going to look at some of the points that we discussed last week. From the questionnaire study guide for lecture number 32. The first question being mentioned, the first part of the 54th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. The first part of the 54th statement, which is numbered as point number 124 in the Arabic explanation of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan, or 123 in its translation. First part of the 54th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. Now, Abdul Wali.
We call those who share our qibla believing Muslims.
Believing Muslims. Tayyib. We call those people, yani the Ahlul Qiblatina, the people of our qibla, we call them as Muslims. We refer to them as Muslims. And we also refer to them as believers, yani mu'mineen. Question number 2. What did Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan say is the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah concerning the one who commits sins less than shirk? Naam Sharif. Okay, that the faith of this person is what?
Deficient.
Naam, deficient. Defective, yani incomplete. But it doesn't make him a disbeliever. Yani the aqidah of Ahlul Sunnah al-Jama'ah is that we do not declare a Muslim to be a kafir, yani takfir, just simply by committing the commission of sins. Yani that's the general rule, as long as that sin is less than shirk. If it's less, as long as it is less than shirk. Yani the person's iman is deficient, is defective, and the person is considered to be a sinner. Yani fasiq. He said, al-fisq al-asghar. Yani because fisq is of two types, there's the greater fisq and the lesser fisq. The greater fisq is kufr, a person is out of Islam. But this type of fisq does not remove a person from the millah of Islam, yani from the religion of Islam. Question number 3, discuss briefly the aqidah of the khawarij concerning the one who commits major sins. The khawarij, what is the aqidah of the khawarij concerning the one who commits major sins? Naam, Hanif.
They declare that major sins without repenting, that they are out of this land and are no longer Muslim. And if they die upon that sin, that they will be in the hellfire forever.
Okay, the person who commits major sins, according to them, who died without repenting from it, then they make takfir on this person. They declare this person to be a kafir. Person who is out of Islam, completely out of Islam, and that person, if they die upon this condition, yani not having repented from a, yani from the greater sins, the kabair, then this person will be in the hellfire eternally. Question number 4, discuss briefly the aqidah of the Mu'tazila concerning the one who commits major sins. The aqidah of the Mu'tazila, and it should be distinguished from what we just mentioned, the aqidah of the Khawarij, right? Naam, Tayyib, Talib. They're in a state between kufr and iman.
But if one dies upon in this state, then they believe
Okay, and but if they die in this state, then they believe that the person will be in the hellfire eternally. So they believe that the person who commits the major sin goes out of Islam. Goes out of Islam. Okay, to distinguish from what the Khawarij say. The Khawarij say the person who commits major sin is out of Islam. Well, the Mu'tazila say that too. But they say he doesn't go into kufr. That's the point that he's what? Between two stations. Any bayna, fi manzila, bayna manzilatain. So the Khawarij say the person is out of Islam. He's a kafir, and he's in the hellfire eternally. The Mu'tazila say he's out of Islam, but they don't say he became a kafir. They say he's in a station between two stations. He's not in Islam, and he's not in kufr. But if he dies upon that major sin without repenting from it, then they agree with the Khawarij, he'll be in the hellfire eternally. So this is an important point to distinguish between the deviations of the deviants. Question number 5. Discuss the Aqidah of the Murji'a concerning the iman of one who commits sins, whether greater or lesser sins. The yani the Aqidah of the Murji'a. Naam. Anybody in the front? Naam. Nasir. Nasir. That sins do not harm a person's iman. Whether they are major sins, yani, or lesser sins, it doesn't yani, affect their iman. Even if, as the Shaykh said, even if they abandon all of the pillars of Islam. To them, this person does not become a kafir. He does not become a kafir. So, yani, what is important to them is that a person yani, testifies and yani, agrees to the truthfulness of yani, Islam. They have yani testify to iman. As far as the deeds, then they say deeds are not a part of iman, so it doesn't increase or decrease yani due to one's deeds. Their iman is stable. They are yani tam al iman, yani mu'min tam al iman, in their believer whose iman is complete and perfect in spite of whatever sins they may have committed. Question number 6. Mention the mistake of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila. What was their mistake? Same mistake. And that of the Murji'a in taking the Nusus, the text of the Wa'ad and the Wa'id. What was the mistake of the Khawarij and Mu'tazila? What was their mistake? And what was the mistake of the Murji'a in how they dealt with the Nusus, the textual evidences? Yani from the Quran. I don't see a hand back here. I don't know who that is. I can't see. Oh, Sharif. Naam, fadl. Yani in terms of the Wa'ad and Wa'id. Yani what do we mean? First of all, what do you mean by Wa'ad and Wa'id? What does that mean? What are we talking about here? Anybody? Huh? Okay, the Wa'ad means the promise of Allah. And the Wa'id means the threat of Allah. So there are textual evidences of Allah's threat. The person commits sin, Allah is going to punish them. And then there are other also textual evidences of Allah's promise of pardon and forgiveness. That Allah may pardon and forgive and overlook. So the mistake of the Khawarij and the Mu'tazila was what? They only take the ayats or the evidences of Allah's threat and punishment. They only focus on one thing, that's it. Allah said, if you do this, you're going to be punished with this. That's it. Khalas, no discussion. And the mistake of the Murji'a? They only take the ayats of Allah's promise. Yani Allah's promise that Allah may pardon, He may forgive a person. So there's a hope that a person who committed sins, even if they didn't repent, Allah may pardon and forgive. Anything less than shirk. So they went to one extreme and they went to the other extreme. As far as, even though this is not one of the questions here, I don't think. No, it's not one of the questions. But the way, the path, the manhaj of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is what? That they combined. Yani between the evidences. They took all of the evidence. It's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The 7th question. Mention the second part of the 54th statement. The second part of the 54th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, which is numbered as 125 in the commentary of Sheikh Salih al-Fawzan. Yani after he said, we call the people of Al-Qibla Muslims and we call them believers. After he said that, then what did he say after that? Second part of the statement. Naam Ahmed.
وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين معترفين
نعم
وله بكل ما قال وأخبر مصدقين.
مصدقين يعني معترفين ومصدقين. And as long as they acknowledge and admit and confess, معترفين يعني they confess to what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم came with. As long as they are مصدقين يعني those who testify to the truthfulness of what the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said and what he informed us about. Then, yani this is the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, then yani these people, we call them Muslims and we call them Mu'min, yani as long as they acknowledge what the Prophet ﷺ came with and testified to the truthfulness of what he said and what he informed us about. Naam. Question number 8, what is the hukum, ruling, concerning one who denies and does not acknowledge the truthfulness of something, yani brought by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the hukm? Naam. Ameen. MashaAllah. Okay, they recognize as disbelievers. They are. Yani they are a kafir. Even if they believe in some of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought, yani whoever disbelieves in any of it, disbelieves in all of it. And what's required of us is to believe in all of it. All of what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent. Last question. Is it sufficient to simply acknowledge and affirm the truthfulness of what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with? Is it sufficient, as what might be understood from the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, that as long as a person acknowledges what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came with, as long as they testify to the truthfulness of it, then he is from the Muslimin and from the Mu'mineen. Is it sufficient that a person acknowledge and testify to the truthfulness of what the Prophet ﷺ brought, or is that not sufficient? I saw a hand back here that I didn't see before. Oh yeah, Taib. Shanawaz?
It is not sufficient.
It is not sufficient. It is not sufficient. And in spite of what we just read from Al-Imam al-Tahawi, it's not sufficient that a person merely acknowledge and testify to the truthfulness of what the Prophet ﷺ came with. Because what? Because he must also act upon what he came with. He must practice it. He must follow, yani, the guidance of the Prophet ﷺ. Do it, yani, implement it. And the Shaykh also said, along with that, he said, yeah, Sharif?
He has to do it sincerely.
And he has to do it with ikhlas, with sincerity. And he has to do what the Prophet ﷺ informed us about, instructed us with, commanded us with. He has to act upon it, and he has to do it with ikhlas, with sincerity. So last week there were some other points that we wanted to cover, but we ran out of time, and we're not going to have time tonight. So I have to apologize. But in any case, we did allude to it last week. The point that we wanted to bring some details about is the fact that, yani, the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, and we're going to come back to it later in detail, that the people of Al-Qibla, we refer to them as Muslim and as Mu'min. And the point is that, yes, these are expressions that when they are used separately include the other. I alluded to it last week, that if we refer to Islam, it includes Iman. And if we refer to Iman, it includes Islam. However, when they come together, then each takes its own meaning. And that is, Iman means the things connected or related to the heart, the inner actions of the human being. And Islam refers to the outward actions. Yani the actions of the limbs. So, you know, there's some detailed discussion concerning that, but we're not going to have time. Like already right now, we don't have time for what we have for tonight. So tonight's subject, yani there are two points, the 55th and 56th statement. And the 56th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, Sheikh Salih Fawzan has divided into 4 points. So we're going to try to cover all of those 4 points, including the first statement here of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, 55th statement. Sheikh Salih Fawzan has numbered it as 126. That's what it looks like. My glasses are not helping me. Yes. It's numbered as 126, and in the English translation, it's numbered as 125. Al-Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, says, وَلَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ وَلَا نُمَارِ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ لَا نَخُوضُ فِي اللَّهِ. Yani, we do not plunge into, dive into, delve deeply into the matters that are exclusive related to Allah, His asma and His sifat, and the things that are exclusive to Allah. لا نخوض في الله. And in the matters that are exclusive to Allah, we don't delve deeply into those things. We don't go too far into them. Yani beyond what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has informed us about Himself in the Quran or what came in the authentic Sunnah. وَلَا نُمَارِ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ. And we also do not engage in disputes and argumentation concerning the deen of Allah, the matters in the deen of Allah that have been made clear in the Quran and Sunnah. We don't argue and dispute about those things. We accept them as they came to us. This is the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi. And the following statement also is related to this, that we don't argue concerning the Qur'an, but rather we testify that it is the kalam, the speech of the Rabbul Alameen. So all of this is related to what? Yani how we deal with these issues, how we deal with matters related to Allah, the deen of Allah, and the book of Allah, the Qur'an. There's no need for argumentation, disputing over the matters that have come to us in the revelation, in the Qur'an, and in the Sunnah. Sheikh says concerning going into, delving deeply into discussions related to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said, لَا نَخُوذُوا فِي اللَّهِ. Yani we don't delve into these matters related to Allah. بَلْ نُؤْمِنُ بِهِ. But we believe in Him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِصِفَاتِهِ وَبِأَسْمَائِهِ. Yani we don't go into these matters any further than what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us. But rather what we do is we believe, yani we accept, and we believe in Allah, and we believe in His asma and His sifat, His qualities and characteristics and His names. Meaning, the Shaykh is telling us, what does this mean, that we don't delve into these matters? Rather we believe, we have iman in Allah, and iman in His sifat, and iman in His asma. He said it means, لا نؤولها ولا نصرفها عن ظاهرها ونأتي بمعان. يعني وَنَأْتِ بِمَعَانٍ مَا أَرَادَهَا اللَّهُ وَلَا أَرَادَهَا النَّبِيِّ صلى الله عليه وسلم اتِّبَاعًا لِأَهْوَائِنَا وَعُقُولِنَا الْقَاصِرَةِ وَهَذَا كُفْرٌ بِاللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ. يعني the meaning here of what Imam al-Tahawi is saying, Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, the meaning is that we believe in Allah, and we believe in His names and His qualities and characteristics, and we do not give false interpretations to them. We don't give false interpretations to them, nor do we give them meanings that's contrary to their apparent meanings, in the Arabic language, what these names and what these sifats indicate. We don't turn them away from their apparent meaning. And we don't come with meanings that are not what is intended by Allah and His Messenger. We don't give meanings to these things that are not in agreement with what? يعني ما أرادها الله, what Allah intended by them, or what the Messenger, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam intended by them, and doing so following our desires and our limited defective intellects. And people want to follow their desires, so they give some meaning or interpretation or explain things in a way that is in agreement with their desires or in agreement with their intellect, their limited defective intellect. He said this, to do these things is kufr, is disbelief in Allah Azza wa Jalla. So in the matters that's related to Allah, especially His asma wa sifat, His names that have come to us in the Quran and in the authentic Sunnah, we understand them just as they are, unless there's some clarification that came in the Quran or in the Sunnah. Otherwise, we take them according to their apparent meanings, and we don't try to give them interpretations that are in accordance with what we desire them to be, or what our limited, defective intellect might dictate to us. To do so is kufr. وَكَذَلَكَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ لَا نُمَارِي. And likewise, we don't argue and dispute concerning the deen of Allah. We don't say, هَذَا نُؤْمِنُ بِهِ وَهَذَا نَتَوَقَّفُ فِي الْإِيمَانِ بِهِ. In the matters that are in the deen of Allah, we don't, numari means nujadil. We don't argue and dispute and say we believe in this and we are not sure about this. And we believe in this, but this one, wait, we have to look at this and think about it. No. The Shaykh says, فَمَا دَامَ ثَبَتَ فِي الْكِتَابِ وَالسُّنَّةِ فَلَيْسَ فِيهِ مَجَالٍ لِلْخَوْدِ بَلْ نُؤْمِن بِهِ وَنُسَلِّمْ وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي أُقُولُنَا مَا لَا يُدْرِكْ هَذَا الشَّيْءِ فَأُقُولُنَا قَاصِرًا. Shaykh is saying, so as long as these matters have come to us and are confirmed in the book and in the Sunnah, there's no room for discussion after that. There's no room for us to examine, investigate, and think about using our minds. There's no room for discussion. Rather, what is upon us is to believe in them, to believe in it, and to surrender, to accept. Even if our intellects, even if our intellects cannot fully grasp or comprehend some of these matters. And what came to us in the Quran, what came to us in the authentic Sunnah, we accept it, whether we comprehend it fully or not. He said, indeed, our intellects are qasira. And they are not complete and perfect. They are limited and defective. And if they had been kamila, if our intellect had been kamila, there wouldn't have been any need for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the human beings wouldn't have a need for messengers to have been sent. Yani if the intellect that the human being had was sufficient, there was no need for revelation. There was no need for revelation. And this indicates or points to the fact that the intellect, the human's intellects are qasira, that they are limited. They are not complete and perfect. And therefore, there's absolutely a need for the sending of messengers in order to affirm the haqq and in order to know for sure the yani falsehood of that which is batil. Yani to know that the truth is the truth and that falsehood is falsehood. Yani it is a necessity. It's not sufficient to use the intellect alone. Rather, there's a necessity for the messengers, the prophets and messengers to be sent. The second statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi that we're going to look at tonight is the 56th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, which is numbered as 127 in the Arabic explanation of Sheikh Salih Fawzan, or 126 in the English translation. And this particular point, statement number 56 of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, Sheikh Salih Fawzan has explained it in four points. The first of them, he is numbered as 127. So obviously the second and third and fourth will be 128, 129, and 130, in the English, yani being one number different. لا نجادل في القرآن ونشهد أنه كلام رب العالمين. Yani we don't dispute about the Quran. Rather, we bear witness that it is the speech of the Lord of all the worlds. And in the second part of this statement, he says, نزل به الروح الأمين. Yani the trusted spirit, yani Jibril, descended with it, yani the Quran. فعلمه سيد المرسلين محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. And he taught it, yani the angel Jibril taught it to the leader, the master of the messengers, that is the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم. Then he says in the third part of the statement, هو كلام الله تعالى. Indeed, it is the speech of Allah the Most High. لا يساويه شيء من كلام المخلوقين. And there is nothing equal to it from the speech of the created beings. Created beings being human beings, jinns, angels, and everything else that's created. There's nothing from the speech of the human beings, nor the angels, nor the jinn, that's equal to the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally said, وَلَا نَقُولُ بِخَلْقِهِ. And we don't say that it is created, yani that the Quran is created. وَلَا نُخَالِفُ جَمَاعَةَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. And we don't oppose or contradict or differ with the jama'ah of the Muslimin, meaning yani what the Muslims have agreed upon, the community of Muslims, what they have agreed upon. As far as the explanation of these, of this statement that Sheikh Salih Fawzan has divided into four parts, the first part he says, وَلَا نُجَادِلُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Yani the meaning of لَا نُجَادِلُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ, we don't argue about the Quran, includes more than one matter. Includes more than one matter. And he mentions two matters. He said it includes that we do not make the statement, we do not say that the Quran is not from Allah. Yani some people say the Quran is not from Allah. It's from Jibril. It's from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whatever. We don't say this, that the Quran is not from Allah. عدم القول بأنه ليس من عند الله كما يقوله الكفار, as the disbelievers said. They said that the Quran is from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We don't say such a thing. So not arguing about the Quran, this is one of the matters. The second matter that he mentions, كذلك الجدال في تفسير معاني القرآن, that we don't dispute or argue about the tafsir of the meanings of the Quran, how the Quran is explained. This is not yani a field for argumentation or disputing yani how the Quran is explained. فلا نفسر القرآن من عند أنفسنا. Yani we don't give explanation of the Quran from ourselves, yani what I think or how I feel. And yani the people get together in a circle and they read something from the Quran and everybody says what I think and how I feel. In the old days, that used to be the norm. It still exists today. People are still doing that today. He said, this is not how we give tafsir, explanation of the Quran. The Quran is not explained illa bima jaa fi kitabillah, except it is explained by what came in the book of Allah, in the Quran itself. أو ما جاء في سنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Or what came to us in the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah. أو ما قاله الصحابة أو ما قاله التابعون. Or what was stated by the companions of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, or what was stated by the تابعين, the second generation after the صحابة. And finally he says, or ما اقتضته اللغة العربية التي نزل بها. Or finally, also the Quran may be explained by that which the Arabic language in which it was revealed dictates, requires. And if the Arabic language requires this to have a certain meaning, then also this is possible to explain the Quran. And he's explaining the Quran by the Quran or by the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Of course, we mean authentic hadith, and explaining it by what came to us from the Sahaba or the Tabi'in, or what is required by the Arabic language in which it was revealed. So we don't say anything about the Quran based on our limited intellects. إِنَّمَا يُفَسِّرُهُ اللَّهِ. Rather, it is Allah. Indeed, it is Allah who explains the Quran. سُبْحَانَهُ الَّذِي نَزَّلَهُ. Allah is the one who explained the Quran. He is the one who sent it down. Or the Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام الَّذِي وُقِلَ إِلَيْهِ بَيَانُهُ. Or the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, who has been appointed to clarify the meanings of the Quran. Or the Sahaba الَّذِينَ, yani those who were the students of Al-Mustafa, the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, or the Tabi'un, yani the next generation, yani after the Sahaba, those who narrated from the students of the Prophet, meaning from the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, or the language, yani the Arabic language that the Quran was revealed in. The Quran is not explained. Yani the Quran is only explained by Allah, or by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, or by the companions and the students of the companions, or by what is necessitated by the Arabic language. And this, he said, by what the Arabic language in which it was revealed in, is because the Quran was revealed in clear Arabic, in a clear Arabic tongue, in clear Arabic language. Clear Arabic language. Naam. So as far as explaining the Quran in clear English language, no. The Shaykh, he says, as far as explaining the Quran by what has been said by some doctor, al-tabib al-fulani, some famous doctor, or some intellectual, or some astronomer, all of these are theories that differ from one to another. Today there is a theory, and tomorrow there is another theory that refutes it. And that's how their science is. Today they have a theory, and tomorrow there is a different theory that refutes it. So that's, the Quran is not subject to that. The Quran is not subject to theories. Because all of this is the work of the human beings. Any of these explanations are explanations of human beings. So the speech of Allah is not explained by these things that change and are exchanged, as the ignorant today do, saying this is from, for example, Al-Ijaz Al-Ilmi. This is scientific miracles. This is not how the Quran is explained. The Shaykh goes on to say, in this first part of the 56th statement, after he said we don't argue concerning the Quran, he said, وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّهُ كَلَامُ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. But we bear witness that it is the speech of the رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ, the Lord of all the worlds. He said, we bear witness that the Quran is the speech of Allah. كَلَّمَ اللَّهُ بِهِ حَقِيقَةً. Allah spoke, the Quran, the words of the Quran, in reality, literally. Allah spoke these words. وَسَمِعُ جِبْرِيلَ مِنَ اللَّهِ. And Jibril alayhi salam, he heard the speech of Allah from Allah himself, not from the Lawh al-Mahfuz. Allah spoke, and the angel Jibril heard Allah's speech, and he conveyed it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Yani Jibril alayhi salam conveyed it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, yani ballagahu ila ummatihi. He conveyed it, yani transmitted it to his ummah. وَبَلَّغَتْهُ أُمَّتُهُ كُلَّ جِيلٍ إِلَى جِيلٍ الَّذِي بَعْدَهُ. And every generation, yani from the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, conveyed it, yani the Qur'an, to the next generation that came after them. The Shaykh says, and I wanted to comment on this, but for the sake of time, we won't. But I'll refer you to Alam al-Sunnah al-Manshura. And I can't remember the translation of the title of the book of Hafiz al-Hakami, Alam al-Sunnah al-Manshura, I think, Signpost, Naam. And sometimes it's also translated as 200 questions or something like that, which is not really the title at all, but the signpost is yani, from the title. Naam. So in that book, Sheikh Hafiz al-Hakami, he mentions in question number 83, a good discussion, question number 83, a good discussion of what Sheikh Salih Fawzan alludes to here in just passing. Very important discussion. He said that Allah spoke the Quran literally, and the angel Jibril heard it directly from Allah and conveyed it to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who conveyed it to the Ummah, and every generation passed it to the one after them. He says, "Nahnu naktubuhu wa naqra'uhu wa nahfazuhu wa huwa bidhalika kalamullah ma huwa bikalamina wala kalam nabiy sallallahu alaihi wasallam wala kalam Jibril alayhi salam." Yani that we write down the Quran, we write it out, yani with our pens and pencils, and we recite the Quran, and we memorize the Quran, and nonetheless it is still the speech of Allah. It is not our speech. It is not the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is not the speech of Jibril alayhi salam. And this is the refutation against those people who say, yeah, this is the speech of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or Jibril, this is the speech of Jibril, because of some misunderstanding that we discussed previously when we talked about the Quran being the speech of Allah. Yani in the earlier point that Al-Imam At-Tahawi mentions. In any case, the point that I want to allude to here is the Shaykh is saying that even though we write the Quran and we write it with pens and pencils and ink and our fingers used on paper, nonetheless, that which is written, the maktub, is still the Quran, the speech of Allah. Even though our fingers and our pens and pens and our paper is created, but that which is written is the speech of Allah. And we recite it, but that which is recited is the speech of Allah. Even though our tongue and our voice is created, but that the matlu, the thing that is recited, is the speech of Allah. And we memorize the Quran in our chests, and our chests and our hearts are created, but that which is memorized, the mahfuz, is the speech of Allah. Sheikh Salih Fawzan is alluding to this in passing. Hafiz al-Hakami, in that book that I refer to, discuss it in detail. A very beautiful way he explains this, that I wish that we had time, but we don't have time. The point is, even though the Quran is written, it is recited, it is heard, it is memorized, that which is being recited, and that which is being heard, and that which is written down and memorized is the speech of Allah. Even though the organs that are used to write it, or to listen to it, or whatever, yani, are created. It's not the speech, it's not our speech, because we are speaking it. And it's not the speech of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the speech of Angel Jibril. The second part of this statement, 56th statement, Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, نَزَلَ بِهُ الرُّوحَ الْأَمِينَ فَعَلَّمَهُ سَيِّدُ الْمُرْسَلِينَ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَسَلَّمْ. Yani that the ruh, الروح الأمين, the trusted spirit, descended with this Quran, and he taught it to the master, the leader of the messengers, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, Aruh al-Amin huwa Jibril, yani the trusted spirit. Yani Allah named him the trusted spirit, is Jibril. And he named him this, yani he is called with this title because he is trustworthy, because he has been entrusted. Because he's trustworthy, he has been entrusted, yani by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't change it. He doesn't exchange it. He is entrusted, yani, with that which Allah tasked him with, to carry the revelation to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is faithful in delivering, yani, that which he is carrying. And he is not to be accused of khiyana, Yani of violating the trust or disloyalty or betraying the trust that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave to him. He should not be accused of such. As is said by the Yahud. They say Jibril is our enemy. Yani meaning how can we trust him? He's our enemy. And he said it is also like the extremist Shia say that inna ar-risala li'aliyin, that the message was supposed to be sent to Ali. Yani the revelation was supposed to be given to Ali. Walakin Jibril khana wa ballagaha ila Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They said that the message was meant for Ali radiallahu anhu. But Jibril, and he betrayed the trust. He violated the trust. And he delivered it to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Instead, he said, فَهَذَا تَكْذِيبٌ لِلَّهِ. And to say this is to declare Allah to be a liar. Because Allah called him trustworthy. And Allah trusted him. Then he mentions yani what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 97th ayah and 98th ayah. And he says that Allah revealed in reference to the Yahud. Yani the saying of Allah in reference to the Yahud. Man kana aduwan li Jibril, فَإِنَّهُ نَزَّلَهُ عَلَى قَلْبِكَ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ مُصَدِّقًا لِمَا بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ. That whoever is an enemy to Jibril, he's referring to the Jews, then indeed it is Jibril who has descended with this revelation to your heart by the permission of Allah, yani which testifies to the truthfulness of what came before it. And then he said also, مَنْ كَانَ عَدُوًا لِلَّهِ وَمَلَائِكَتِهِ وَرُسُلِهِ وَجِبْرِيلَ وَمِيكَالَ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ عَدُوٌ لِلْكَافِرِينَ. That whoever is an enemy to Allah and his angels and his messengers, and specifically Jibreel and Mikael, he said, for indeed Allah is the enemy of the kafirin. And the meaning of this, that Allah is the enemy of the kafirin, and whoever is the enemy of Allah and his angels and his messengers and Jibreel and Mikael, they are kafirs. That's the meaning of indeed Allah is the enemy of the kafirin. Then the Shaykh says, من عادى جبريل أو ملكا من الملائكة, whoever has enmity towards Jibril or any one of the angels, then indeed Allah is his enemy. And likewise, in the same way, whoever has enmity towards a messenger from amongst the messengers of Allah, then such a person is a kafir. And whoever has enmity towards a wali from the awliya of Allah, the people of Iman and Taqwa, then this person has openly declared himself to be yani at war with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is as mentioned in the yani, as it has been authentically mentioned in a hadith that's reported by Al-Bukhari on the authority of Abu Hurairah, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and this is a part of the hadith that he mentions, that indeed Allah the Most High has said, whoever opposes or has enmity towards a wali of mine, then note that yani فَقَدْ أَذَّنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ, Allah announces war with that person. To the end of the hadith, that's well known, very, very important hadith. Shaykh says, so Jibreel taught the Qur'an to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah says in the Qur'an, in Surah Al-Najm, 53rd Surah, 5th Ayah, عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدَ الْقُوَى. Huh? شَدِيدُ, نعم. عَلَّمَهُ شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى, yani that he has taught him, yani meaning Jibril has taught him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Allah describes Jibril as شَدِيدُ الْقُوَى, yani that he is one who is, and he has great strength. He said, the Shaykh says that the pronoun here in this yani verb عَلَّمَهُ, or the pronoun that comes, yani that's the object of the verb عَلَّمَهُ, he said the mere maf'ul, and the maf'ul be, he said it is, yani fi allamahu, it goes back to the Prophet. The one who is being taught is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and shadidul quwa, and the one who is very intense in strength is Jibril alayhi salatu wasalam. So he, the Jibril alayhi salam, taught the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the command of Allah. The third part of the 56th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, he says that this Quran is the speech of Allah the Most High, and nothing from the speech of the created beings. whether human, angel, jinn, or otherwise, is equal to it, yani to the Qur'an, the speech of Allah. Sheikh says that the Qur'an is the speech of Allah. تَكَلَّمَ بِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ حَقِيقَةً وَسَمِعَهُ جِبْرِيلُ مِنَ اللَّهِ حَقِيقَةً وَبَلَّغَهُ إِلَى النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهِ وَسَلَّمْ مِنْ غَيْرِ زِيَادَ وَلَا نُقْصَانَ. Yani that Allah spoke with the Qur'an in reality, literally Allah spoke, and Jibril literally, yani really heard, yani the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he delivered it, he conveyed it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam without any ziyada, without adding anything to it, or nuqsan, or taking anything from it, without any addition or omission. And then he mentions the saying of Allah in Surah Fussilat, 41st Surah, 42nd ayat, لا يأتيه الباطل, yani that no type of falsehood can come to it, من بين يديه ولا من خلفه, whether from in before it or from behind it. Falsehood cannot approach the Quran. The Quran is protected and preserved. So the angel Jibril delivered it to the Prophet ﷺ without any addition or omission. And further he will say, and the Prophet ﷺ likewise conveyed it without any omission or addition or exchanging of anything. Here, Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, yani that the angel Jibril delivered it, yani without any addition or omission, and he mentions this ayah, and then he mentions another ayah from the Quran, which shows that the Prophet ﷺ delivered it just as it, yani as he received it. And it's not possible, even if though it may be attempted, but it's not possible to take him from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَإِن كَادُوا لِيَفْتِنُونَكَ عَنِ الَّذِي أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ, yani that even though, yani they nearly try to tempt you away from that which we have revealed to you, لِتَفْتَرِيَ عَلَيْنَا غَيْرَهُ, so that you would invent, make up something different other than what, yani, was revealed to you, وَإِذَنْ لَتَّخَذُوكَ خَلِيلًا, and if you had done so, then they would definitely have taken you as their, yani, pure, beloved friend. وَلَوْلَا أَنْ ثَبَّتْنَاكَ لَقَدْ كِدْتَ تَرْكَنُوا إِلَيْهِمْ شَيْئًا قَلِيلًا, that if we had not made you firm, yani strengthen you to resist, yani their effort to cause you to invent something, then you would have, yani, nearly inclined to them a little. إِذَنْ لَأَذَقْنَاكَ دِعْفَ الْحَيَاةِ وَدِعْفَ الْمَمَاتِ ثُمَّ لَا تَجِدُ لَكَ عَلَيْنَا نَصِيرًا. Surah Al-Isra, 17th Surah, 73rd to 75th Ayah. He said, if you had inclined to them and followed their suggestion or done what they requested from you, then we would have punished you with a double punishment in this life and a double punishment in at death or in the next life, and then you would not have found anyone to help you against us. The Shaykh says, after mentioning this, that indeed the Messenger delivered the Quran without any omission or without any addition or without exchanging anything. And finally he says, وَلَوْ تَقَوَّلَ عَلَيْنَا بَعْدَ الْأَقَاوِيلِ, that if he, yani meaning the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, had made up something false, yani in place of what Allah revealed to him, لَأَخَذْنَا مِنْهُ بِالْيَمِينِ, then we would have seized him with the right, yani meaning by his right hand to kill him, or meaning with strength and power, yani the yameen representing strength or power. Both of those tafsirs are mentioned by Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir. ثُمَّ لَقَطَعْنَا مِنْهُ الْوَتِينَ, and then, and if he had done so, if the Prophet ﷺ had done so, and he wouldn't have done so, but Allah is making us to know what would be what's the severity of the matter of protecting the revelation and delivering it without any addition or omission or any exchange. He said, we would have, yani, cut his, yani, the vein that goes to his heart, the aorta. Yani, he would have cut it, yani, killed him. This is mentioned in Surah Tuhaqa, 69th Surah, 44th and 45th and 46th. Ayats, the Shaykh says, so it is indeed the speech of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it is just as it was sent down, yani protected and preserved intact. So Allah has preserved it from any increase or any decrease, as he mentioned in Surah Al-Hijr, 15th Surah, Ninth ayat, inna nahnu nazzalna ilayka dhikra, nazzalna dhikra wa inna lahu lahafidhun. That indeed we have sent down the dhikr, meaning the Quran, and indeed we are its protectors or preservers. Yani that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect and preserve the Quran. And the last point that the Shaykh mentions, Allahu musta'an. Naam. We're going to finish inshallah, bi idhnillah. But just like briefly summarize. Last point of the Shaykh, the last part, fourth point of this statement, 56th statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, numbered as 130 in the Arabic explanation and 129 in the English translation. Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, وَلَا نَقُولُ بِخَلْقِهِ وَلَا نُخَالِفُ جَمَاعَةِ الْمُسْلِمِينَ. Yani it's not our position or our view. We don't say that the Quran is created. And likewise, we don't oppose or contradict the Jama'ah, yani the community of Muslims, yani what the Muslims have agreed upon. Sheikh Salih Fawzan explains this. He says the first part of the statement, we don't say that it's created, yani we don't say that the Quran is makhluk, as was said by the Jahmiya. They said that it's the speech of Allah, but it's created. This is clear kufr, and it is rejection or denial of the speech of Allah. And it's denying what Allah Himself said. And it is also describing Allah with imperfection, with naqs. And that is, yani saying that Allah doesn't speak. And the one that doesn't speak is naqis, yani is defective, is imperfect, and could not be, yani, that which is worshipped. For this reason, yani, the one that doesn't speak is defective. The Shaykh says, for this reason, when the people of Samiri, yani the people who believed in what he was telling them, yani to worship the calf, the golden calf, when those people said, هَذَا إِلَهُكُمْ وَإِلَهُ مُوسَى, this calf that was made from gold by Samiri, they said, this is your ilah, and this is the ilah of Musa. Meaning, the calf, or the statue, that Samiri had made from gold. They said, this is your God, and this is the God of Musa. When they said that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded by saying, أَفَلَا يَرَوْنَا أَلَّا يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَوْلًا. Yani, don't they see that this statue cannot return to them with any speech? It doesn't speak, it doesn't answer. وَلَا يَمْلِكُ لَهُمْ دَرًّا وَلَا نَفَعًا. And it doesn't possess any harm or any benefit for them. This is in Surah Al-Taha, 20th Surah, 89th Ayah. The statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَلَّا يَرْجِعُ إِلَيْهِمْ قَوْلًا, yani that this statue, it doesn't return with any speech, it means it doesn't speak. And this indicates that their worship of this statue, that it is false. And it's defective. It can't be something worshipped, and it is defective. And in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-A'raf, 7th Surah, 148th ayah, أَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّهُ لَا يُكَلِّمُهُمْ وَلَا يَهْدِيهِمْ سَبِيلًا. Don't they see, can't they see that this, yani statue, that it doesn't speak to them, and it doesn't guide them, yani, on any right path. The Shaykh says, so speech, speaking, the ability to speak, is from the characteristics of perfection. And the absence of the ability to speak is from the characteristics of, yani, imperfection, naqs. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is declared to be free from any characteristics of imperfection. Rather, he is described with the characteristics of perfection. So we don't say that, yani, concerning the Quran, that it is created. We don't say that it is created. Rather, Allah spoke it. Allah spoke these words, yani, as He did every revelation that was revealed to the prophets. Finally, he says, وَلَا نُخَالِفْ جَمَاعَةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, in reference, in any matter, but especially in reference to our aqidah concerning the Quran, we don't oppose the jama'ah of the Muslims, the community of Muslims, yani the body of Muslims, what the Muslims have consensus upon. So the jama'ah of the Muslimin believe that the Quran is munazzalun haqiqatan ghayr makhluk, that it is that which has been revealed in reality, and that it is not created, and that it is not created. This is the exact words quoted from Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah in a statement that he makes in Majmu'a Fatawa. The entirety of the statement is extremely, yani, important, but again, there's no time. I think that we mentioned most of it previously when we talked about the Quran is created. And we mentioned the statement from Ibn Taymiyyah where this is quoted from. Yani that the Jama'ah of the Muslims, the community of Muslims, believe that the Quran is revealed, is sent down in reality, and it's not created. Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah said, and here the Shaykh is quoting again, Minhu bada wa ilayhi ya'ud. Yani that the Quran came from Allah, from Him. It began with Allah. And it will return to Allah. And the Shaykh explains that in the end, that's the last thing that he says. After he says, this, believing that the Quran is revealed, that it's not created, that it began from Allah and it will return to Allah, he said, هَذِهِ عَقِيدَةُ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي الْقُرْآنِ. Yani this is the aqidah of the Muslims concerning the Quran. Yani that we don't oppose the community of Muslims about it. He said, likewise, we don't oppose the community of Muslims, the Jama'ah of the Muslims, in everything that they have agreed upon from the affairs of the deen. Whatever there is ijma' upon, we don't say anything different. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يُشَاكِكَ الرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُ الْهُدَىٰ وَيَتَّبِي غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ نُوَلِّهِ مَا تَوَلَّىٰ وَنُصْلِهِ جَهَنَّمْ وَسَاعَتْ مَصِيرًا. That whoever opposes the messenger, and this ayat in the translation, a very important part of this ayat is deleted. It's not in the translation. So if you have an English copy of this book, make sure you go back and check the ayat, because it's not any complete here. But the translation should be, whoever opposes the messenger, after yani the huda, the right guidance, has become clear. وَيَتَّبِيَ غَيْرَ سَبِيلِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. This is not translated in the English translation, these words here. وَيَتَّبِيَ, whoever opposes the messenger after the huda became clear, and follows other than the way of the believers. That's not mentioned in the translation. That's the yani the shahid from the ayah. That's the point. That they follow other than the way of the believers. We don't follow other than the way of the believers. Then we will turn that person to what they turn themselves and admit them into the hellfire, and evil is it as a destination. The Shaykh says the end of this statement, that is the statement from Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, min Allah, yani minhu bada'a wa ilayhi ya'ud. He said, from Allah it began. It is not like some of the people of misguidance say that Jibreel took the Quran from the Lawh Mahfuz. Rather, he heard it from Allah mubasharatan, directly. Wa ilayhi ya'ud means that in the end of time, in the end of this world, the Quran will be raised up to Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is from the signs of the hour of judgment. So the Quran will be removed from the masahif, from the printed copies of Quran, and it will be removed from the hearts or from the chests of the human beings, and nothing of it will remain upon the earth. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you that He grant success in doing whatever we do, and that He, out of His generosity and kindness and mercy, that He recognize, record and reward our good deeds, and that He pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant us al-thabat, to be firm and steadfast upon as-sirat al-mustaqim, until we return to Him in a condition in which we are pleasing to Him and pleased with Him, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He grant recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and that He shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away, and that He fill their graves with light, and that He make them spacious, and that He admit them into His paradise and protect them from the punishment of the hellfire and the punishment of the grave, and that Allah grant relief to the Muslims in Gaza, in Palestine generally, in all of the Muslim lands and the non-Muslim lands where Muslims are being persecuted and slaughtered and oppressed. And Allah alone is the one to whom we, from whom we seek help. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant relief to the Muslims, to all the Muslims wherever they may be, and that He grant success in overcoming the enemies of Allah and the enemies of Islam and the enemies of the Muslims. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.